and say a big thank you to everyone who's up here either playing instruments or singing each week. And so as a church, can we just thank everybody and our tech team that's in the booth each and every week. And so I love serving with everybody. And so I just wanted to take a moment while I have the pulpit to say that and thank everybody. It's truly a blessing and an honor to be up here and to get to worship and with them and lead in that way. And so I'm thankful for that. As I said before, Jeff is down in Haiti teaching pastors that are going through the book of Ephesians. And so please be in prayer for him as you go through the week. And so today, as kind of our music has led up to, we're going to be talking about freedom in Christ. And so, and the reason is why just this past week, Thursday was Independence Day. So as a country, we celebrated our freedom, the freedom that we have just here in America. And on Wednesday night, we had a big shindig at the amphitheater. And so big choir, big orchestra, fireworks, where we got to celebrate our country and get to worship God together. And that was a ton of fun. And if you were able to come out to that, I hope that you had a blast. So we, those of us who were a part of it, we loved it. We really enjoyed it. And so, with all that going on, and with Thursday being Independence Day, which felt like endless Saturdays since then. I kept thinking every single day, I'm like, is tomorrow Sunday? Nope. It's just Friday now. So took me a while to get into it, but here we are. We're at Sunday now. But with all of that stuff going on and kind of thinking about freedom, God was drawing me to just speak about freedom this morning, to speak about freedom with you. And so it's one of the greatest blessings that we have. We love our country because of the freedoms we have. We support and we thank all those who have died to provide us these freedoms, who still continue to serve to so we can continue in the freedoms that we have. And we need to do that, and we need to love our country. But it's important for us to recognize that there are different types of freedoms that we have. And so we have political freedom that flows from things like freedom of the press or freedom of assembly or freedom of association. And we also have personal freedoms like what we're practicing right now. We can worship wherever we want, or freedom of speech, or freedom to choose our own job or our own school or our own spouses. We have all of these freedoms, and it's possible to be free in all of these ways, but yet still be in bondage to something that's not both either political or personal, and that's bondage spiritually, and that means to be in bondage to our sin. And so to be in bondage to our sin, that's being in bondage to our fleshly passions. And so on the flip side, it's also possible for us to lose all of our political and personal freedoms and yet still be free spiritually. And so I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to John 8. So we've got Bibles in the pews if you can find them, or flip on your phone, or if you have your Bible, go ahead and be turning to John 8. Verse 31 is where we're going to begin this morning. And so our text that we're going to look at, it tells us that the ultimate freedom is for anyone who puts their faith in Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so my goal this morning is that we would experience Jesus, his sovereignty, the fact that Jesus is risen. He is our living Lord. He is the Lord of the universe, and he is the source of real freedom in our life. And so we're going to look today at what makes us truly free. So, like I said, John 8, if you go ahead and turn there, we're going to start in verse 31 and read through 36. And here's what it says. It says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered him, 'We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?' And Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So let's pray together. God, we pray that as we look to your word this morning, that you will open our eyes to your truth, and that you'll allow us to be set free from our bondage to sin and celebrate the freedom that's only found in you. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, well, you know, I can say with a great amount of certainty that everyone in this room wants to be free in the deepest and fullest sense. Our culture wants to be free. There's tons of songs about freedom. You know, just saying that, you know, you probably have all kinds of songs come that pop into your mind. But I, like I said, I know that we all want to be free. We all want to be fully and deeply free, and especially given that the opposite of that is bondage and slavery, and no one wants that. At the same time, I recognize that some of us are sitting in this room that we're enslaved. We're enslaved to some sinful habits or some sinful lifestyles or some addictions. And if we get really honest, then sometimes we like these things and we're very comfortable in these things, which means at that point that we're content in our slavery. But I know that when we take a step back from that and we really stop and we think about what life could be like without those things, then we realize we'd like to be done with that type of bondage. We'd like to get that out of our life, and we are ready for a complete freedom. So John 8:36, in there Jesus says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And that's what we're after, those two words, free indeed, that Jesus says. And that means really free. It means truly free. It's freedom in that fullest meaning, and Jesus offers that to us. So let's remember what we're reading. These are the words of Christ. He's the one who came down from heaven. He lived that sinless life. He was beaten and tortured on a cross for our sin. He rose from the grave on that third day, and he is alive right now. He's seated at the right hand of God. And these are his promises. These are his words to us, our living God. Our Lord. And so let's take these words seriously this morning as we consider them. Because anytime we think that we have a better way to be free than what the Word of God says, we're really just putting ourselves into a type of enslavement. So we see this in people all around us, and we've experienced struggles to break free from these ungodly chains. And sometimes these chains that we see in our lives are easy to identify. Things like addiction, or maybe the chains in our life are a little more socially acceptable. Things like fear or greed or pleasure, unforgiveness, legalism, racism. Maybe it's the striving for more and more power, those kind of things. And those are all lies that the devil tells to us. And we become enslaved to those things because we think that they're going to bring us freedom in some way. So, but when we really stop and we think about these things, we have to ask this question: are these things really freedom? And the answer is no, because the result of these things and many others, other things that I didn't mention, that was just a sampling, but the result of those things, it's all bondage. And so Jesus, let's let him speak to us about freedom in these verses. In verses 31 and 32, he says this: "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And in the context of this passage, so Jesus is speaking with a group of Jews who had just come to believe in who he was. And even though they believed him up to this point, we find out later in the passage that for some of them, their belief was fleeting. You know, they just weren't ready to continue trusting him and obeying the things that he said. And so this message that he gave them, even though he was speaking to them at the time, this is the same message that he is giving to us today as we sit here reading and hearing from him. And Jesus is saying that we need to know the truth of his word, and we need to believe it, and we need to obey it. And any time that we think that we have a better way than what the word of God says, then we're submitting ourselves to enslavement rather than to the freedom that he gives. So let's look at the people's answer. So they answered him just like probably some of us might in our culture. They said, "We are already free." In verse 33, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? So here we are. So Jesus has greatly offended the people now. Like the people he's talking to, they're greatly offended by this. You know, they are relying and depending on their heritage through Abraham for their freedom. And in their minds, you know, they've been brought out of slavery from Egypt. They are God's chosen people. And so in one aspect, they're correct. Yes, they are free in the fact that they are not physical slaves, but they aren't focusing on the freedom that Jesus had in mind here. So Jesus goes on to clear up their understanding in verse 34. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." Now, let me read it again. "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." That's a huge statement that Jesus is making, and it's enough to build a whole nother sermon on. Like, we could be here all afternoon, but I figure that we probably want to get out of here at a decent time today. We're actually more likely going to get out of here early. Yay. So we won't go in, and there won't be two sermons here. But the gist is this. I just want you to look around. Look at all the people around us. Everyone in the room, just because you could see, you know, like you say, all right. Everyone that you just looked at, now look at yourself. We're all sinners. That's the gist of what Jesus just said. All of us, every single one of us. You know, therefore, Jesus is saying that everyone is a slave to sin. So if we're sinners, that means we're slaves to sin. And that means that sin isn't just some bad thing that we do. It's not just some bad act, but that it's a power that holds on to our hearts, and it causes and it's the root cause of these actions. And so we're slaves to this power inside of us. And Jesus goes on to say in verse 36, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." So Jesus is telling us that we can't produce this type of freedom, that we can't free ourselves from this slavery to sin that he's just told us about. It's too deep. It's too embedded. It's too much a part of us. And he is the only one that can do that for us. It's not something we can do ourselves. If we try to do it on our own, then we just find ourselves in just another type of bondage, just bondage upon bondage. And we think about trying to earn your way to heaven by your good works or by the life that you live. That is a terrible form of bondage because it brings with it so much uncertainty. Like, so let's just say we could work our way to heaven or those things. If that was true and we could work out our salvation, then we would have like a ton of questions at this point. You know, like here's some questions that we'd have. Like, how many good works must you do to finally earn God's forgiveness? You know, which are the works that count? Do a bunch of good things cancel out the big sins that you've committed? Or can like one really big good work cancel out a big sin, or maybe like a bunch of small sins altogether? Or at what point can I know that God is appeased? Or, you know, what if I'm doing the wrong good works or just not enough good works? So these are all questions, and it would be an endless cycle that really gives no hope. It gives no assurance in our life. And if we try to get to God by our own works and our own goodness instead of God's way, and that is through faith in Jesus, then that leads us to the worst type of bondage that there is, and that is eternal separation from God. So, but if we come to God in the way that he says in his word, and that is faith in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross for your sins, then you can indeed be free, and you can indeed have life everlasting. And it's God's truth that sets us free. There's no greater freedom. There's no greater freedom that you can ever experience in your life than to have all of your sins forgiven, never to be brought against you again by a holy God. And that is freedom. That is real freedom. That is the freedom that God wants for us. And that is the freedom that he is speaking out in this passage. Now let's talk a minute just about how sin enslaves us. And it does so in two ways. So the first way is that sin enslaves us by producing these compelling urges within us that make us look to something or think that something is more desirable than Jesus. And that's what sin is, just by definition. It's just desiring something above Jesus and then acting on it. And then the second way that sin enslaves us is that sin, it leads us to be eternally separated from God. And unless something takes that sin from us, then that path, it leads to hell. And so we buy into this lie and that Satan is throwing our way in this lie that says that we can have freedom when we can choose whatever we want in life. But if we clearly saw that the end of the road was destruction, then we wouldn't say that's really freedom. Only Jesus can free us from these kinds of slavery. And he frees us from the condemnation of sin by taking on our sins. Galatians 3:13, it says this: Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. So Jesus frees us from the control of sin by changing our very nature, by making us righteous before God. He took on our sin, gave us his righteousness so that we could stand before God by making us new through the new birth. And he's making our hearts to see that he is more desirable than anything else in this world. And it's only when our sins are forgiven and then God's wrath is taken away that we can see that Jesus as the greatest treasure, greater than anything the world has to offer, and that we're free from that enslavement of sin. And that is what Jesus is offering to us. And we see examples of how this type of freedom and what Jesus is talking about, how that plays out throughout Scripture. Here, a few examples. In John 3, Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee that was trying to be accepted by God through religion and keeping the law. And Jesus told him, you must be born again. Jesus told him that salvation can only come from God, not from doing religious works and keeping the law. In Luke 19, Zacchaeus, he was set free from greed. And so if you know the story of Zacchaeus, I always get the song that rolls around in my head, like, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, you know. But he was a tax collector, and he was allowed to basically take just about any fee he could from the people, just as long as the Roman government got their money, got the money that they were asking for. And so, for the most part, he cheated everybody because he was in bondage to greed. But one day, he heard Jesus was coming through town, and so in order to see over the crowd, he climbed up into a tree, and as Jesus was walking under that tree, he looked up to him and he said, Zacchaeus, hurry up, come down, for today I need to stay at your house. And then at Zacchaeus' house, Jesus saved him so that he was set free from that bondage of greed. And we saw the results of being set free from that bondage, what he did. He was so free that he gave half of his money to the poor. And then he promised to pay back anyone he had swindled four times what he had cheated them. So that hold of greed in his life was broken at that point. Another example is in John 4, the woman at the well. She was set free from bondage as well. So she had been married several times, and when Jesus met her, she was living with a man who wasn't her husband, and she longed for something deep in her soul. She was searching for something, and it was this longing that propelled her from one relationship to another, but it always left her spiritually thirsty. And so Jesus told her about the living water, and he was speaking about himself and about his power to meet her needs. And so he told her that whoever drinks of the water he gives them shall never thirst again, and that the water he gives would be a well that springs into eternal life. And she responded to that by putting her faith in Jesus, and then her spiritual thirst was quenched. And so these are all examples of what it means to be free that we find in the Bible. And this is the freedom that I know that we all long for. And so I want to make it clear this morning what it really means to be fully free, or as Jesus said, free indeed. And that's freedom that only He can give. And so, like a musical example is that I can sit at the piano and I can play any of the keys that I want, but I don't really have freedom because my ability is limited to play the piano. Like, you know, I don't have the freedom to sit there and play works by Bach because that takes years of practice and it takes dedication to lessons to really truly be free at the piano. And it because it's only then that I have that freedom to play that piece of music. Outside of that, I'm just banging on keys and no one enjoys that. You know, this is the same the truth that we have in freedom in our living. And so to be truly free, we have to have the power and we have to have the ability to be obedient. And we get that when we put our faith in Christ. And it's only then that we are free to be obedient. When we put our faith in Christ, that's the only time that we are really free to be obedient to Him and to be obedient to what He says. We're free to do His will because of what God has done for us. And prior to being set free, you know, we weren't able to do that. You know, we could sit down at that keyboard of life and we could bang away at the keys all we wanted, you know, but we were powerless. We were slaves to our sin at that point. And like I said at the beginning when we started, you know, there are lots of types of freedom, but they fall short of being the freedom that Jesus is talking about. John Piper, he's a pastor, he's an author, speaker, you may know he is, but he has a definition for this type of freedom, and I wanted to share it with you. He says that you are fully free when you have the desire, the ability, and the opportunity to do what will leave you no regrets forever. And so I want to say that again, just so let it wash over you, let you hear this. You are fully free when you have the desire, the ability, and the opportunity to do what will leave you no regrets forever. And so let's break that down, because I want to show you that we aren't really free if any of these things are missing in our life. So if you don't have the desire to do a thing, then you're not really free to do it because it goes against your desires. That means something is holding you back. And if you have the desire to do something, but you don't have the ability to do it, then you're not really free to do it. Kind of like the example I told you about playing the piano. You know, or if you have the desire and you have the ability, but you don't have an opportunity to do it, then you're not really free to do it. And if you have the desire to do something, you have the ability to do it, you have the opportunity to do it, but in the end it destroys your soul, then you're not really free to do it. You don't have the freedom that Jesus intended for your life. So to be fully free, we have to have that desire, we have to have the ability, we have to have the opportunity to do what will make us eternally content. I want to give you an illustration, kind of just what that would look like. So I don't know, some of y'all know how old I am, but some of you may be shocked to know that I'm turning 40 in a couple months. So it's a big birthday, and so I've been wanting to do something special for my birthday, so I've been thinking that I want to go skydiving. So woo, yeah, who's coming? here's, you know, I'm thinking about going to New Orleans to do it. And so I'm kind of going to use this as just, you know, an earthly example of a bigger picture of what we're looking at. So let's say I'm driving down to New Orleans to go skydiving and my car breaks down. So I can't get there. So in that case, like, I'm no longer free to go skydiving, you know, whether I have the ability or not, because that opportunity has now passed me by while I'm waiting on the tow truck and all that's involved in that. So I've lost, now I no longer have that freedom of opportunity. Or maybe I make it to the airport. Maybe I get there, but I skip the class on what you're supposed to do. Now I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know how to operate the parachute. And so the opportunity is there, but now I don't have the freedom of ability. Without that, they're not going to let me jump out of that plane. Or let's say we make it to the airport. I go to the training class. I have all the abilities that I need, and I get on the plane, and we get up to altitude, and as soon as they open that door, I look down, and then just all of my desires just disappear. and instead, replaced by like pants-wetting fear. I've got the opportunity, I've got the ability, but now the freedom of desire is gone. It's just torture at this point. All right, last scenario. So suppose I get to the airport. So freedom of opportunity. I'm there. I have all the know-how. I did the class. I know what to do. I've got the freedom of ability. I look out the door at all the tiny little objects on the ground that are miles down there, and I'm pumped and I'm excited to jump out so that I've got the freedom and desire. So then I jump out of the plane. And so, Katie, don't listen to this part. As I'm falling, I'm enjoying every second of this, living it up. It's great. Adrenaline's pumping. But unknown to me, my parachute is defective, and it's not going to open up no matter what I do. Am I free at that point? No, because I'm doing something happily. I'm moving forward. I'm doing everything freely up to that point. But what I'm doing so freely is going to kill me. Even though I don't know it yet, I'm in bondage to destruction at that point. It feels like freedom at the time because of the excitement, because of the fun, but that's all about to go away because I'm about to meet the ground a little bit faster than planned. So that's just kind of an illustration of that, of this larger spiritual point about freedom in life. And because of what Christ has done for us, we are given the desire to live for Him. We have the ability to do His will through the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and we have the opportunity in everything that we do to live for His glory. And if we're living in that freedom, then we're never going to have any regrets because we're going to live for eternity with God in His glory. And so I hope you kind of see how that comes together. But when we're enslaved to sin, that's when we were condemned. And no matter how we lived our lives, we're still condemned. But now, because of what Christ has done for us, there is no condemnation. That's His promise to us. And that pull of sin in our lives, kind of like gravity on me jumping out of the airplane, that pull is broken. And in God's grace and in His mercy, He came to us while we were dead in our sin. And that is something we have to remember, that we had no hope of our own, but He brought to us saving faith. It was nothing we did. So now our future, our desires, all these things are new because when we place our trust in Christ, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and He's giving us power to overcome sin. And the Holy Spirit, He's working in us to help us fight against these sinful desires and these temptations in our life. And our desire now is to live for God's glory. And that's the most freeing life that we can ever have. And we can trust God's words. In this passage says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And so I hope that you get the point that none of this is done on our own. It's none of this is done in our own power, but it's all dependent on God through the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that is freeing. Like how freeing is that? That's amazing. That's worth giving God praise for. And that's what we did leading up to this moment in this service. We are thanking God for the freedom that He gives us because of His sacrifice. If you just think about all the words to the songs that we're leading up to this, we have been giving God praise for that freedom this morning. And so, but when we look around, we see people living in ways that are all but honoring to God, and they're calling it free living because they're seeking out their own pleasures, their own meanings, and all kinds of things, whether it be greed or drugs or fame or sex or power or status, whatever it might be. And all this freedom, it's not lasting. That freedom, it's not true freedom. It's not freedom that God is telling us through his word. That's just a vapor in regards to eternity. Those things might feel like freedom at the time, but when we think eternally, those things are just a vapor. They're just here and then they're gone. But those who trust in Jesus and those who treasure him above all will, what the Bible says, mount up with wings like eagles and be glad. And that's 1,000 years from now. You'll never regret that. That's what it means to be free indeed. And so I want to ask you a question. How free are you? You know, you have to think about this. Have you been freed from the lies of Satan that tell you that your fleshly and your selfish desires are how you achieve freedom? Or have you been freed from sin and judgment through a life-changing encounter with Christ by trusting him as your Savior? Or have you given up trying to live by these cold religious rules and rituals and exchange them for a true relationship with God? And so I want to just tell you how you can be free, like Jesus said, and that is free indeed. And you can do it through these things. And first, it's by knowing God through his word. Like Jesus said, the truth sets us free. His word is the truth. So we need to learn what Scripture teaches, and we need to obey what he says, and then we have to put our faith. So you can be free, like Jesus said, free indeed, by putting your faith in Christ as your Savior. And that means to turn from your sin and trust in Jesus Christ as your hope of salvation. It means trusting in him and not in your own works. It's trusting in his work, not your good deeds. And then lastly, it's doing what the Bible calls walking by the Spirit. And so walking in the Spirit, it means to live so that you're actively listening to the Holy Spirit's guidance in your life. And that means in every situation in your life. It's being obedient to him in whatever he leads you to do. So if you're tempted to sin, God has promised to us that he will show us a way to escape from that temptation, and he always does. So listen to his voice, that Holy Spirit inside of us, and obey it. You know, when you see someone in need, he may impress upon you to give to that person in need. And that means be the hands and the feet of God in that person's life, to give what the Spirit impresses you to give to their life. Or the Spirit may impress upon your heart that someone is sad or they're hurting, and that you need to take a moment out of your schedule just to encourage them. And if you feel that tug of the Holy Spirit on your life, then do it. It's just being obedient to God's call. That's what walking in the Spirit is. You know, only Jesus, who is the very Son of God, who died and was resurrected for us, can make all of this possible. Remember what he said in verse 36. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So to be content eternally, our sins, they have to be forgiven. Christ must become who we value more than anything else. And we can't do that on our own. Only Jesus can do that. And he already did it. He died for our sins. He took on God's wrath, and then he rose from the dead. And today, he is the King of Kings. He is the name above all names. And the good news, we didn't have to do anything to get it. You know, he offers that gift of eternal life. He offers it freely to all of us who receive it by faith. And so I'm going to ask you to pray with me as we close this message. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the work of Jesus. We thank you for your grace that you give to us so abundantly, and for your mercy and your forgiveness when we mess up. And God, we ask that you help us to find real freedom and joy and excitement in the Christian life by finding true freedom in your word. And so, and true freedom by faith in Christ Jesus and by listening to the Holy Spirit's voice moment by moment. God, help us to more fully understand that freedom that we have by living for your glory. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior.